La 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 la
recording.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ghoul Society.
That's my big sister Jamie.
And that's my little sister Sarah. We are grateful to be recording on the unceded stolen territories of the Songhees and Esquimalt First Nations and the Lekwungen and Wasanich peoples, whose historical relations with the land continue to this day. As uninvited guests, we are committed to disrupting racism and colonial violence within ourselves, our families, and our communities. By listening to this podcast, you've officially been inducted into the Ghoul Society.
And it's still Sunday.
It's Sunday again.
It still is Sunday.
I told Bristol to be quiet.
Well, he's not. I hate Sunday.
Really? Me too, because that means that we have to do things tomorrow.
Yeah, I get the Sunday scaries.
I do. I think that's why I felt so messed up when I slept until 9.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh no.
I keep having awful sleeps on Saturday nights. I just like can't fall asleep. Like, I didn't fall asleep till like 1:30 last night.
Oh my god.
I know, I can't fall asleep. And I don't know if it's because Montana's awake, because he goes to bed at like 3 or 4 in the morning. I don't know if it's because he's awake or what. Like, I was so tired when I lay down, and then I stopped. I don't know.
That's the worst. That happened. I hate that.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. That happens to me too. Like, if Bristol's awake and I'm trying to go to sleep, even if he's like genuinely quiet and like everything is quiet and it's fine, I still just like knowing that he's awake and like the energy of him being awake.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so
weird.
Annoying.
Yeah. Well, I hope tonight you sleep better.
I usually don't sleep very good when Montana's working, so.
No.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, YOLO, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe melatonin?
I do take melatonin.
Oh.
Last week? Oh my god, it was so bad. What was it, last Sunday? No, it was last Monday, because I didn't work Monday, because it was a holiday. Last Monday, I took melatonin, and then I couldn't fall asleep.
Ugh.
Within like half an hour, and then, or like it was like over an hour, and then I wasn't tired anymore, and then I had to take another one because the effect had come and gone.
Yeah, melatonin really fucks me up. Like, it makes me feel like I'm like tripping really hard.
Yeah,
it's weird. Like, I don't like it. It makes me, it's not for me.
Yeah,
anyway, are you ready?
Yeah, what do you have for me? Do you have true crime? Do you have ghosts? Because I did ghosts. We done a lot of true crime.
Neither. I'm gonna just do my intro.
Okay.
It's kind of crime related. Anyway, on Wednesday, July 5th, 1944, 8-year-old Bob O'Connell and most of his family were waiting excitedly for the infamous Ringling Bros and Barnum and Bailey Circus to arrive to town by railway car.
No. It's so sad.
Yes.
Okay, everyone, careful. It's sad.
Proceed carefully.
Yeah.
It had so far been a hot and dry summer in Hartford, Connecticut, and this Wednesday was particularly hot as they waited in anticipation, the hours slowly ticking by. They eventually found out the circus had been delayed by 7 hours, arriving from Providence, Rhode Island. The highway map time for this is about an hour and a half, but by train it's probably more like 3 or 4 hours. Plus, they were just behind on taking down a show that they had on Rhode Island.
Right.
On this day, they got to watch a sideshow performance instead of the main event, but the rest would have to wait until tomorrow. Excitement was felt again when tomorrow came, July 6th, and Bob, his mom Evelyn, his grandfather Pa, his great aunt Annie, and his sister Doris Jean finally got to attend the main show in the big top tent. They were seated in the northeast section, about 6 bleacher rows up from the floor, right in front of the lion cage, where the first act was taking place with the lions.
Not the lions.
I know.
Also, I feel so bad for those animals.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of get into that a little
bit
later.
Just in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Circus animals. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
No.
I've been to the circus here the past 2 years. There ain't no animals.
No, and there shouldn't be. There doesn't need to be.
And it's super cool and fun, and there's dirt bikes, and they go in this ball. And then when we went this past fall, guy went in the dirt bike cage, and then one of the girls stood in the middle. He just, like, went around her on the bike, and I was like, what the fuck?
That's so crazy.
It was so sick.
So scary.
Yeah.
Oh my god. So, as the crowd was preoccupied with the lions, the performers set up for the second act, which was the flying Walendas, which is a high wire act with no net below them. Some Walenda family members were already up on the wires on the south side with bicycles, balancing on wires strung across the tent near the top.
That's just crazy.
It's so crazy. While most of the other members were up on the north side, the same side that Bob was seated at. While watching the rest of the Walendas get into position, Bob glanced beyond the members and noticed something strange. Quote, what looked like a full moon just as it comes into view above the horizon, and just about the same size. I had no idea what it was. It climbed slowly. Then, somebody nearby said, fire. This is the horrific and terrifying story of an event that would forever be remembered. The Hartford Circus Fire of 1944.
I gives me anxiety.
I'm obsessed with this story.
No, it gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, so trigger warning, fires. If you don't like fires, get out of here. Swipe left. Yeah. What?
What?
Or is it swipe right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
We don't. What? Why would it?
Swipe whatever is that you want to skip.
Why are you asking me? I've never been on a dating site.
I don't know. I just thought you would know because your friends probably do it.
Yeah, but I don't know how to use it.
Oh, I think it's swipe left for bad. Anyways, so now we're going to get into the Ringling Bros circus history.
It's the circus.
It's the circus. So the Ringling Bros and Barnum and Bailey Circus started as separate circuses. Actually, a lot of separate circuses, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
So, Hachalia Bailey, he established one of the earliest circuses in the U.S. after he purchased an African elephant, naming him Old Bet in 1806.
He just bought an elephant?
Yeah. It's the 1800s of it all, don't you know, darling? It's like Topsy.
You know the story about Topsy?
Yeah, but that's like really sad, right?
Yeah, they electrocuted him.
Oh my god. What? Yeah, because he got out and he ran around and he killed someone, right?
I don't think he killed any. Did he kill someone?
I think that's why they electrocuted him. I don't know.
No, he was just like a science experiment.
Why do you keep bringing things up that I have to look up? God damn it, Sarah.
I don't know. They made us learn about Topsy in school.
Okay, this is from Wikipedia. Topsy was a female Asian elephant who was electrocuted at Coney Island, New York.
Yeah.
In January 1903.
R.I.P. Topsy.
But let's see why. Yeah. Topsy gained a reputation as a bad elephant. Oh. And after killing a spectator in 1902, was sold to Coney Island's Sea Lion Park. And then Topsy was used in publicity stunts. And then I think she accidentally killed some more people. And then they just killed her.
Listen, so, she's just being an elephant.
Yeah, she's literally a fucking elephant.
I don't know what you want from her. Like,
it's so fucked up. Oh god, I just watched.
Like, she's not gonna be able to see all the people down there.
Well, also though, no, elephants are really smart. I think that she was like, fuck you guys.
Maybe.
Are treating me like shit. So I'm taking my revenge.
Maybe.
That's what I think. They're really, really, really smart. They are really smart.
I love elephants. They're so beautiful.
Anyways. P.T. Barnum had worked as a ticket seller for Bailey's show and had run the Barnum's American Museum from New York City since 1841. Through time, Barnum added animals and a freak show to his museum to further build up his exhibit. He then started traveling around the country, naming it P.T. Barnum's Grand Traveling American Museum, which actually burned down in 1865. He attempted to reestablish the museum at another location, and it too burned down in 1868.
Why is everything he owned burned down?
Yeah, so Barnum decided that this was a sign to retire. So Bailey has the elephant, he's doing circuses. Barnum had the museum.
Yeah.
He was trying to do museum stuff. However, Barnum was persuaded out of retirement to lend his name, his know-how, and financial backing to the circus that was created by Dan Castello and William Cameron Coop in 1871. Okay. This combined show was named P.T. Barnum's Great Traveling Museum, Menagerie, Caravan, and Hippodrome, and had all the elements of the museum, menagerie, variety performance, concert hall, and circus, and was considered to be the greatest show on earth, which subsequently became part of the circus's name.
The Greatest Showman. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a good musical.
No.
I actually really like it.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good.
Oh.
I think you should watch it.
So then, I'm a little bit confused, but I'm assuming that this is Bailey's son, James Anthony Bailey. So independently of that circus situation,
okay.
James Anthony Bailey had teamed up with James E. Cooper to create the Cooper and Bailey Circus in the 1860s, becoming the main competitor to Barnum's circus. Bailey's circus very quickly outperformed Barnum's, so Barnum asked to merge the circuses, and they agreed to combine their shows in 1881. This was the name of it. P.T. Barnum's Greatest Show on Earth and the Great London Circus, Sanger's Royal British Menagerie, and the Great International Allied Shows United.
Oh my God.
It was eventually, thank God, shortened to Barnum and Bailey's Circus.
That's so short compared to the original name.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad that they shortened it.
A little side fact, Bailey was actually a crucial part of acquiring Jumbo, which was the world's largest elephant, for their circus shows.
World's largest? Still?
Probably not.
Oh, at
they the lied. Time. At the time, it's like the 1800s.
How do they know it's the world's largest elephant?
They probably made it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How
does anyone know anything in the 1800s?
How are they getting these elephants?
Because they fucking colonized India. London was like, let's go take over India now.
Yeah.
Or like probably something like that. That's how.
Yeah, no, I know that.
Or other parts of Asia. They put them on the boat. They're like, let's take these back.
A long journey for these elephants.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how anyone survived any kind of boat shenanigans.
Yeah.
Anyway, after Barnum died in 1891, Bailey purchased his share and continued touring the eastern U.S. until he took his circus to Europe in 1897, and he lasted there for 5 years. But meanwhile, in 1884, five of the seven Ringling brothers had started a small circus in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Now, there's this video on the Paranormal Files on YouTube.
I just got chills. Okay, I'm ready.
Where they go to the Ringling house. Like, Colin and his team go to the Ringling brothers' house. Also, did you know that there was a sister of the Ringling brothers?
No.
Yeah, it was actually six brothers and one sister.
Oh.
Yeah. But you always just think it's Ringling Bros, because that's the name of the circus performers.
Okay. Whatever.
Anyways, it's a really cool episode. I highly recommend you watching it if you're into really spooky, ghosty things and circus
things.
It's
really spooky.
It's not that spooky, and it kind of has this, like, joyful vibe.
Okay.
I don't know. It has, like, a good energy to it. I'm just realizing more and more that, and maybe it's just in my head, but like when I start a YouTube video where I'm watching a spooky show, whether it's Twin Paranormal or Sam and Colby or Paranormal Files or Exploring with Josh or whatever, I feel like I get a sense of the energy of the place. Does that make sense? I think that's why sometimes I'm way more scared than other times to watch it.
Okay.
But did you find it? It's on YouTube.
Oh, is it on YouTube?
Yeah, the Paranormal Files is just a YouTuber named Colin.
Oh, also on the Travel Channel. Three Ring Terror.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, no, that's not the one.
What is it? Paranormal Files?
Yeah.
I don't follow them.
You should. You would like them. Bruh, just go to YouTube. Oh my God.
What?
It's called something like Wisconsin Clown House or something, and they always have titles that are like,
yeah, super scary, we left our cameras there because we were so scared.
Like Twin Paranormal.
We almost quit.
Yeah.
I'm like,
huh? Yeah, they have very clickbaity titles, yeah. But like they're not
like Sam and Colby.
That. Yeah, but way worse. So the Ringling Bros had used small animal-drawn caravans until their circus grew so large that they were able to move by train, allowing them to have the largest traveling amusement enterprise of that time. When Bailey was in Europe, the Ringling Brothers could move their show across the entire nation uninterrupted.
Wow.
However, when Bailey returned, he was faced with new competition. So he took his show west of the Rocky Mountains for the first time in 1905. Imagine doing that trip. Imagine the drive between Alberta and BC. You know?
No.
In 1905. Crazy. Anyway, he died the following year. Oh. I don't know why.
R.I.P.
We can just imagine it could be anything, but he probably just was... Probably, I don't know, alcohol, maybe.
TB.
There's so many reasons. Old age, quote unquote. And the circus was sold to the Ringling Brothers. After showing the circuses separately for a few years, by 1919, the Ringlings combined the two, finally resulting in Ringling Bros and Barnum and Bailey combined shows. The circus flourished in the 1920s and suffered in the 30s, but managed to stay in business.
Nice.
In the 1940s, in spite of travel restrictions imposed as a result of World War II, President Roosevelt gave the circus special permission to use the railway. In 1944, they rolled up to Hartford, Connecticut, for what was supposed to be a regular show on their tour.
They said, listen, we're at war. We need some fun times.
The people need joy.
Something.
Yeah.
Let the circus go wherever they want to go.
That's right. Kind of love it.
Presidential seal.
What's that, the sound of the wax?
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to get into the fire.
Yes.
The afternoon performance on July 6th was attended by around 8,000 people who were eager to see the show, all stuffed in the big top tent. This crowd was...
Do you have the dimensions of this big top?
Yep, I'm going to get to it.
Okay.
This crowd was mainly women and children, as most of the men were either at work or were enlisted into war as World War II raged on across the pond. The layout of the big top was 200 feet wide by 450 feet long. So it's like almost like a football field, I think. Not quite so big, though. I would say like half the size of a football field, probably. Yeah.
That's fucking big.
With 15-foot high sidewalls that were up to 4 points in the center.
Yeah.
That went up to 4 different points, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And the center was 48 feet high. So it was really tall. That's like 4 stories.
Imagine going to like a proper circus like that.
I know.
Our circus is so small. I just want to go to a really big circus one day.
It's true. I guess I went to one. I saw Cirque du Soleil in Calgary once.
Yeah,
And it was big.
You know Cirque du Soleil is coming here again in May. It's ice. Oh. It's an ice show. It's at the Save-On Center.
Should we go?
Yeah, I've been looking. Love tickets ice. Are a little pricey.
But that sounds fun.
Like $80.
I love ice. I can't believe I just said that.
I love ice.
Fuck.
I love ice.
Oh my god. So the big top could seat 9,000 spectators around its 3 rings and had a main entrance and 8 smaller exits. Unfortunately, during the 1944 Hartford show, many of the smaller exits were blocked by circus wagons or like animal stuff. Because they were in the middle of the show, but I think is kind of an oversight. A huge oversight.
Yeah.
Like, I think because they bring them into the tent through the exits and they just stop it there to let things out of, like, the wagons. Cages. Yeah. And cages.
Also, I'm sorry. I don't understand how lion tamers... I don't understand how the lion... Like, I understand that they were conditioned to listen to, like, whips and abuse and stuff, but also it's like, how did they not just get eaten? How did they not just, like, run out of the tent? And, I don't know.
Because they would be punished.
Yeah.
But it just makes you realize actually how, like, conscious animals are.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because they're like, I can't run away because if I do, then they'll hurt me.
Yeah. It's really sad and really fucked up. Okay. So the canvas of the Big Top had been coated.
Oh, God. This is like.
This is the part.
Best worst part.
Yeah. It had been coated with 1,800 pounds of paraffin wax, which was dissolved in 23,000 liters of gasoline.
Yeah.
This was a super common waterproofing method of the time, but obviously it's extremely fucking flammable. It's literally a candle.
Yeah. Further. No one brought that up as well. Like,
I think, like, they had, like, fire watchers and water boys.
Right.
But, yeah. I don't know. Well, okay. The thing is, before, in the same week that this circus fire took place, the two shows before, the tent also actually lit on fire.
What? Really?
But it was put out really fast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is it always catching on fire? So in 1 week, it was
three times.
What flame?
It's the 1940s.
But what flame are they using? Is it because everyone's smoking in there?
Yeah, well, they're not supposed to smoke. I'll kind of get into that, too.
Okay.
Okay. Let's just keep going. Further, the tent was put up by circus employees over freshly mowed grass and exposed dirt, which was then watered down and covered with hay and wood shavings.
Yeah.
So it's literally, if you're building a fire, this is what you want to do.
This is your fire.
This is how you want to make a fire. Well, except the watered down part, but you know. Coming back to where we left off at the beginning, the fire began and was noticed during the Flying Walendas performance. The first person who noticed the flames is said to be Merle Evans, the circus band leader, who immediately directed the band to play The Stars and Stripes Forever, which is a march that traditionally signaled distress to all circus employees.
Mm-hmm.
Can I play it real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, I've got to pull it up.
Okay.
Okay, let's try this one.
Fire! There's a fire! Fire!
So that's the song that was playing.
Right.
Like, that's the song that they used to be like...
Distress. Something's wrong.
There's something really, really wrong. Yep.
Damn.
The ringmaster attempted to tell everyone to leave the space in a non-panicked fashion, but the power was off due to the fire and no one could hear him over the mic system.
Oof.
As the flames ravaged up the walls and to the roof of the Big Top, hysteria very quickly ensued.
Yeah.
In an attempt to leave the blazing tent, witnesses claimed to see people running everywhere, some up the bleachers, other down, while some just ran in circles trying to find their loved ones instead of running out of the tent. At this point, Bob was separated from his mom and sister, instead following his pa to escape the fire. After running down the bleachers, they were faced with the lion cage, which split the crowd in two directions. Half headed left, toward the exit, which was blocked by animal chutes. Others headed right, merging with the faster-moving crowd. Later, many people who went left at this junction would be found dead, trapped against and beside the chutes.
Oh,
Bob
no.
claims at this moment he doesn't remember what choice they made, but he does remember eventually his pa shouted at him to jump down from somewhere, and they continued moving quickly to get outside. Once outside, they searched and searched for his mom and sister, but only finding his Aunt Annie. His aunt died in hospital the following day of third-degree burns that covered much of her body.
Jesus Christ.
Later, the same night of the fire, Bob's dad identified his mother and sister at the armory where bodies had been laid out to be identified by loved ones. Many victims burned to death in the fire, and others died as a result of the chaos. Some died from injuries after leaping from tops of bleachers, trying to escape under the sides of the tent, which actually ended up killing more people than it saved.
Right.
Others were trampled by spectators in the confusion and panic. Most of the dead were found in piles, some three bodies deep, at the most congested exits. Miraculously, a small number of people were found alive at the bottom of these piles.
What?
Yeah.
They were just
under bodies. Yeah.
How are they not crushed?
I don't know. Or burned or smoked.
Yeah.
Or,
holy. Yeah.
Another survivor testimony from Maureen Krykian, who was 11 at the time and attended the circus on her own, because she tried to go to her neighbors to be like, hey, mm-hmm. do you want to go to the circus? But they actually left without her because I think she was running late or something. Oh, yeah. So she was like, I'll just go by myself. She claims this. I remember somebody yelling and seeing a big ball of fire near the top of the tent. And this ball of fire just got bigger and bigger and bigger. By that time, everybody was panicking. The exit was blocked with the cages that the animals were brought in and out with. And there was a man taking kids and flinging them up and over that cage to get them out.
Whoa.
I was sitting up in the bleachers and jumped down. I was 3/4 of the way up. You jumped down and it was all straw underneath. There was a young man, a kid, and he had a pocket knife. He slit the tent, took my arm, and pulled me out.
Whoa.
End quote.
I'm gonna cry. That's so... Oh my god.
I know. It's kind of genius. Maybe yeah. always carry a pocket knife with you. I'm just saying. As she was being pulled out, Krykian grabbed another little girl's arm and pulled her out as well.
Wow.
In total, around 168 people were killed and over 700 people were injured. Though this number is potentially lower than actual injuries, as many people believe to have gone straight home in shock instead of seeking medical aid.
Right, that makes sense.
The amount of time it took for the whole tent to burn down, mm-hmm. do you want to guess how long?
30 seconds.
Well, not quite that fast.
Like 5 minutes?
It was 8 minutes.
Yeah. Holy shit.
8 to 10 minutes. Which is so fast, because we talked about how big it is.
Yeah.
Like...
Did the performers get out, or did some of them die as well?
I don't actually know. I think that a lot of them did get out. It doesn't really... I think just a couple performers died.
Mm.
But I don't know how... Especially the Wallundas were, like, way at the top.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe... Yeah, I don't actually have much about that. So sorry.
That's okay.
So the most well-known victim of the circus fire was a young blonde girl wearing a white dress. She is only known as Little Miss 1565, a name created from the assigned number to her body at the makeshift morgue in the armory. Her true identity has been a topic of debate and frustration since the fire occurred, and she was buried without a name in Hartford's Northwood Cemetery. Two police investigators, Thomas Barber and Edward Loy, spent the rest of their lives trying to identify her and decorated her grave with flowers on each holiday. Mm.
That's so beautiful.
I know. After they had passed away, a local flower company continued to decorate the grave. So cute. I know, it's really sad. That's so
nice, but sad.
There have been some solid proposed identifications of Little Miss 1565, including the most solid one in 1991. She was declared to be 8-year-old Eleanor Emily Cook, though when her aunt and uncle had the body examined, it didn't actually fit the description that they provided.
Oh.
Because the body was actually a 6-year-old.
Oh.
However, Connecticut State Police forensics units compared hair samples and determined that they were probably from the same person. Kind of like, okay. Hair samples? I don't know. You know.
Also, I just don't understand how that poor child would go miss, like, unidentified.
I know. Well, unless her whole family died in the fire.
Yeah. But, like...
And maybe they were from out of town or something, you know?
Yeah, like, her whole family died and they had no family at all.
Yeah.
Like, it was just them.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, they're out from out of town.
But even still, from out of town, like, you
would like, hear you have to have some kind of extended... Like, your extended family would find out.
Yeah.
And be like, you know?
Yeah, or like, you'd think so. Yeah, I don't know. It's strange.
That's just so weird to me.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, supernatural in a sense.
Yeah, kind of. It's true. So because of this, Little Miss was exhumed the same year and was buried next to her brother, Edward Cook, who had also died in the fire. I kind of think even if this isn't her brother, perhaps it's the best that she's buried with a family instead of just like on her own with the other victims.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Yeah. So, yeah, because also then What if that little boy is her brother? Where like their parents?
I don't know, man.
Like the
I don't know.
Like that little like that. What was his name? Sorry,
Edward.
Edward. Did Edward go by himself? Did he go with his parents? And his parents made it out.
I have no idea.
And man. they have a daughter.
I don't know.
And she's just gone, and they're like, what?
I don't know.
Like, I just doesn't weird. Make any sense to me.
I know. I don't it doesn't. Get it. It is really strange that they haven't. And also, like, DNA.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's like you don't want to exhume someone too many times.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Yeah, I know.
So what caused the fire? Original investigators, including the Hartford Fire Marshal Henry Thomas, determined that the fire began close to the men's toilet enclosure, which was attached to the big top wall behind the southwest bleachers. Mm. Other investigators and an expert witness claimed the origin of the fire was in the same general area, but they believed that a wooden support jack inside the big top was actually ignited by a cigarette instead of the men's toilet.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I don't believe that. I think it's way more likely that, like, someone went to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, smoking was not specifically forbidden, but it was really discouraged.
Right.
So I think that, like, a patron entered the restroom, lit a cigarette, smoked the cigarette, and either, like, threw the still lit cigarette or match into the toilet or, like, on the grass beside it.
Yeah.
And then it caught the walls. Because it's the same fucking material with all the gasoline and wax. And the walls are connected to the big top.
Yeah. Oh, imagine being the person who started that.
And I know. You know you and did you it. Know. And you never come forward.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, that was me.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anyway. So another theory was that it was arson. Mm-hmm. In 1950, Robert Dale Siggy from Ohio claimed that he was responsible for setting the fire.
Oh, okay.
Siggy.
Siggy.
But it's not spelled like that. It's S-E-G-E.
Oh.
He had admitted to the circus fire, a series of other fires, and several murders since his youth. In 1944, Siggy was 16 years old and was a general employee of the circus, including at the Hartford show.
Oh.
He claimed to have a nightmare. Trigger warning for racism. Oh. And the nightmare, quote, in which an American Indian riding on a flaming horse told him to set fires, end quote. Which just kind of sounds like a scapegoat to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're blaming this nightmare?
Yeah, what the fuck?
You're essentially blaming that an indigenous person told you to set fire to the big top tent. Anyway, okay.
White people.
Siggy stated that after this nightmare, he blacked out, and by the time he came to, the circus fire had been set. In November of 1950, he was convicted in Ohio of unrelated arson charges and sentenced to 44 years of prison time, even though investigators were doubtful of his confession, as Siggy had a history of mental illness, and no one could verify that he was actually in Connecticut at the time of the fire.
But they still put him in prison?
Yep.
Okay.
He died in 1997, and he denied setting the fire from when he was persecuted to 1994, when he was interviewed for the final time. So over the course of 44 years, he was like, I did not set the fire.
And he couldn't get out?
No.
Really sad.
Yeah. Well, he was convicted of other arson charges, not of this one.
Oh, this so was he was like, in, he was serving time for...
Yeah, but still.
But that's...
44 years for arson? Yeah, that's arson?
Really long. Like, were other people injured in these other arsons?
Yeah. Like, what?
Did that's he... a really long time for arson.
Yeah, I don't know. It's...
Okay.
Many investigators believe the true arsonist, if there was one, was never found.
Yeah.
The most likely situation to me that we talked about was the cigarette in the washroom. Also, like, the washroom is just, like, an outhouse. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, like, a washroom.
Yeah.
Like, a water washroom.
Right.
And also, these washrooms are not visible from inside the big top. Mm-hmm. So, it makes sense that once it was spotted, the fire was spotted, it was just too late.
Yeah.
Afterwards, charges of involuntary manslaughter were filed against 5 officials and employees of Ringling Brothers. Damn. The circus reached an agreement with Hartford officials to accept full financial responsibility and pay whatever amount the city requested. The circus paid almost $5 million to the 600 victims and families in 1954. Would you like to guess how much that is worth today?
$8 million.
You think $5 million?
What? I don't know. Worth
$8 million? Wait, I accidentally wrote 5,000.
I don't know. 20.
$5 million in 1954 is worth $58 million today.
Oh. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
So then the circus went out of...
No, because what they actually did is, like, from the time of the circus, over the 10 years, they put funds aside from, like, all from the revenue. Essentially, from every single year, like, they were just kind of working for free. Mm. And they put all the money aside to then pay the families 10 years later.
Oh, wow.
In 2022, the Hartford Circus Fire Memorial Foundation was established and a permanent... Oh, sorry. In 2002...
Oh.
I'm assuming. So, in 2002, the foundation was established and a permanent memorial was built in 2004 at the site where the fire occurred. I was looking at the memorial. That's actually really cool.
Oh.
During Ringling Bros. And Barnum and Bailey's final circus tour, they visited Hartford and had their final performance there on April 30th, 2017.
Whoa.
I know.
That's pretty ballsy for them to go back.
I know.
Like, did they even want that? I guess they were okay with them going there.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess it was kind of like a full circle kind of thing. Like a,
wow,
we're closing tribute? This out. Yeah. Yeah. The circus shut down in 2017 due to a slow and steady decline in revenue and rising costs, as well as many legal cases of claims of animal cruelty.
Yeah.
Headed by PETA, of course.
Wow, they still had animals in their circus in 2017?
Yeah.
That's actually really crazy.
I know.
Like a proper circus.
Yeah. Like elephants and tigers. And bears, oh no. Just kidding. Just elephants and tigers and other stuff.
Yep. That's crazy for 2017.
Yep. Then, 4 years later, in 2021, the circus made an announcement of a re-emergence without animal performances.
Woo!
Finally!
We love circus without animals.
In 2023, the circus kicked off at Brookshire Grocery Arena in Louisiana. And they continue to tour around, so you can see the original Ringling Bros circus.
Hey, do they come to Canada?
Doubtful.
No one ever comes to Canada. No one ever comes here to do any kind of show. What the fuck?
I know. We should check, though. And that is the story, tragic, tragic story of the Hartford Circus Fire of 1944.
Whoa, that one is so sad.
I know. I hope I did it decently justice. It's a bit shorter than I thought. That's fine.
No, I think that was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. You're welcome. Is always so sad.
It is a very
sad time
one.
I hear about it.
I know. Well, thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you for listening. We go see a circus.
Go see a circus. The animals. And tell us about it.
Yeah.
Can someone just tell us about anything?
Share your stories with us.
Yeah, come on. Come on. I know you've been thinking about it. You've been sitting on your story. You're like, should I send this in?
I feel embarrassed.
Don't feel embarrassed.
Send in your story.
Just send it in.
Also, leave us a review.
Leave us a review, please.
Please.
Please leave us 5 stars and leave us a review.
It helps, really helps bring us to other people.
Yeah. Helps get our name out there. Tell a friend. Tell 3 friends and then tell those friends to tell friends.
Yeah.
And we hope you keep listening.
And we'll see you next time. You know what I was saying in my head?
Yes. We almost accidentally just ripped off 2 Girls, 1 Ghost. We're so sorry.
No, that's morbid.
No, I thought we were going to say we'll see you on the other side.
Oh, no. I was going to... Because you said...
See you next... We'll... hope you keep listening. And we hope you keep it weird. Oh, no. This is... Okay, listen. We're so sorry. We're trying to just find our own thing.
See you next time.
We say boring stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, considerations, questions, comments, concerns. Questions, comments, concerns, and corrections. Concerns, yep. You can email us at ghoulsocietypod@gmail.com. You can also follow us and give us a DM on Instagram at ghoulsocietypod. If you would like to see our resources or trigger warnings, you can find each of those in each episode's description. And that's it.
Thanks.
Bye.